You may be seated. Thank you. Please pray for Lori as well. She texted me this morning saying that she was not feeling well. She was throwing up and having some fever. So we need to pray for her. Let's go ahead and do that right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the wonderful worship we had today. And be with Lori and her body. And then let her recover and get back to normal. And she can have a great week today. And Lord, just watch over this congregation. And keep us all well and healthy. And forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
First, I want to, am I on? Hello? Is there anybody, is this thing on? I've got a green light. It's on. There we are. There, here we go. Okay. I love this time of year when it's 80 one day and 20 the next and I am so clogged up, and then add to that, my sugar was high this morning, and so I got dry mouth on top of that, so I'm liable to just go to the hawking up things here in a minute, but be in prayer for me here as I get through this. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. We're going to be looking at chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the first three verses of chapter 2, because that kind of sets the stage for the remainder of 2 Peter. Now, 2 Peter is written to the churches claiming that at this moment there is false teaching that has entered into the church. And you say, well, that's kind of odd because the church is not even 50 years old by this time. The church is still in the the first generation of its life. It's new, and then how does it already have false teachings? Well, Paul dealt with it. John dealt with it. Peter deals with it. Jude dealt with it. That as soon as the church would spring up, guess what? Guess who doesn't want the church to survive? Satan. And so he would send these individuals, Paul calls them super apostles, the super apostles. He's not talking about the 12. As we discovered when we first started, the way you claimed to be an apostle was you seen the resurrected Christ. And up to that point, there was around, could have been 500 to 600 people that would claim that they were apostles of Jesus Christ, that they could claim that office of apostles. Now, when John died, when John the apostle died, the office of apostle ended. Are they apostles today? Yes. Those who have been sent out, that's an apostle. However, you can't claim the title of apostle. So the first way you can always tell a false church is if you drive by and it says apostle so-and-so. That would be one you will not need to go into because it's a false church. That's a give me. But Peter is saying what has snuck into the church is destructive. A false teacher is someone that you just don't say, oh, well, okay, well, we're in church. We'll outlast them. No. A false teacher will destroy the church. And this is what Peter's fear was, that if you allow these individuals to come in here and preach to you something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, these individuals are destructive. Their end is the total elimination of the church. Now, why is that important today? Because as we have gathered today, and as we have opened the scriptures today, there are countless numbers of individuals going to church that the gospel will not be proclaimed at all. We are, I believe, about 2 minutes to midnight. We are close to hearing the bridegroom call. That great song called The Midnight Cry. We're this close. Everything within prophecy or the of eschatological studies seem to be indicating we are there. Because a lot of times we've been viewing our end time study to westernized eyes, the American church. You can look through all the books that have been written about all the end times coming, and if you look at this sign, you look at this sign. China has 200 million soldiers. That means the end time's coming. Like, no. No. What did John say in the book of Revelation when he was in the Spirit? No, he did not see Apache helicopters or tanks or anything like that. What he was dealing with was a veil that was opened up for him to see that things were going on spiritually. But we've been given clues as what to look out for. Jesus in the sermon, the Olivet Discourse, makes a list of things to look out for. Paul in his writings to the Thessalonians says, when you see this happening, when you see this great falling away, then it's only moments before the man of lawlessness will show up. And what is this he talks about? Is this falling away? Well, all across the world, church attendance is flatlined. This is a worldly thing. That's what I was talking about. If it would be easy for us to say the church is in decline in America, but now we can say it's worldwide. Why? The message hasn't changed. What has changed? Well, perception, for one thing, we call it a little pandemic. If Satan could convince us all to stay home, afraid of getting sick, then he's won. That's all he had to do. And the people have gotten out of practice, out of the desire to come to worship. And once you start not coming, then it's kind of like working out. You won't go back. Oh, I can watch it on the internet. Well, that works for a few weeks, and then eventually you say, well, it'll be on the internet next week too, and I can watch it then. We have across the board this great falling away. This great apostasy. What comes next? Paul says, when you see this happen, the next seen will be the revealing of the man of lawlessness. We know him lovingly as the Antichrist. So you see the reason why teaching messages that are not popular or easy to listen to are now more important than ever. Let's look and see what Peter is dealing with. These teachers that Peter is dealing with are presenting no gospel at all. And this is the problem we are facing today. Let's look. 2 Peter verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensualities, and because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So let's look at these destructive messengers. Let's look back at verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. All right, so what is their work? Well, Satan is not going to just run in here and just say, well, I'm a false teacher, and I'm fixed to start teaching falsehood. No. Jesus said, the wolves will come at you dressed as sheep. But even though they're dressed as sheep, they're still wolves with one desire, and that is to destroy the flock. Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe. And yet, these individuals have been allowed into churches. They've been allowed to stand behind the pulpits and allow to lead the people astray. Now, like I said, if you walk up to a church and it says Apostle so-and-so, you know immediately that's a false church. But there are so many of them out there now that just tweak it just enough. They'll put enough Jesus into the message to make it taste good while not preaching the blood-bought salvation that only Christ can deliver. And just the other day, I received one of those little flyers you get in the mail that I immediately put in the recycle bin. But this one I couldn't really read real good, and so I pulled it to my face to read it, and it's a new church campus. They're opening up another campus to this church, and they're doing a sermon series for singles and those desiring to be married. And you say, well, what's bad about that? Well, nothing really, except it's not what you need to be preaching from the pulpit. I can tell you little marital advice and things like that, except for the fact is that if you don't know Christ, your marriage is doomed to start with. It was called from solo to soulmate. From solo to soulmate. And I can already describe to you what's going to happen. You show up, they have a little rock concert, and get you all fired up, and the preacher shows up, probably in blue jeans with holes in them and a T-shirt. And then he throws butter and honey and everything else at you and then says, go in peace. And you have not heard the gospel message at all. Now, not condemning that church, if they do preach the gospel, if they do preach the scripture, then that's great. Every once in a while, it's okay to be doing things as the scriptures declare them. But if that is their MO, then that's a false church. The prosperity movement. Most of these you see on TV. That tells you if you send them $1,000, if you plant a seed of $1,000, God will bless you 100%. Well, the only people I see getting blessed 100% are the ones who are saying, send me the money. See, this was a problem even back here. Peter even mentions it, that they're here, they're in it for the money. These individuals are not preaching the gospel at all. Now, they may sound like they know what they're talking about, but they really don't. That is their work. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, look out for them, because they're wolves. Even though they look like us, they're wolves. They're teaching. He said they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. We don't use that word much. That word, judgmental. Heresies? During the Reformation, if they declared you a heretic, you were barbecue outside. Nowadays, they're all over. And probably some of the biggest heresies today are ones that are coming from higher up, even in our Baptist faith. There's individuals that held high positions in the Southern Baptist Convention that have now completely gone left. And I'm not talking political left. I'm talking theologically left. To where now it's nothing more than a revised Marxist social gospel. And these are people that I looked up to when I was in seminary. There were several times I would go and eat with several of them, and we would sit and talk for hours about things. And I thought, oh, these guys are solid. And just almost as if overnight, they have completely abandoned the true message of the Scripture and have begun to twist it into this neo social gospel, politically correct, critical race theory, that everything that we have been proclaiming has been tainted because, for the most part, our churches are primarily Caucasian. Well, I'll use their word. White supremacist. They say that we have taken scriptural interpretation, we've taken the gospel message, we've taken how we do church, and have put our whiteness in it. Therefore, it is tainted. Really? Well, the last time I checked, the Bible was written by people from the Middle East. And it was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And if you take those translations and then utilize the translations in the context in which they were written, and then stand up here and say, God has two peoples, Israel and the church. These are the two covenant peoples of God. God made covenant with Israel. God made covenant through Christ with the church. Israel's no longer valid because of the crucifixion of Christ. When Jesus says it is finished, the sacrifice of bulls and elephants and the keeping of the law, it's through Christ and Him alone. So when we view the lens of biblical interpretation, we first look at Israel in the Old Testament, because who was? That's who it was written for. Then you look at the church. Is there parallels? You see, I can't put the prophecies of Jeremiah and then say, well, the prophecies toward America are exactly alike. No, I can't do that. The prophecy of Jeremiah was to who? Judah. To the children of Israel. But I can look through the lens of the church and see if there's parallels in that. And if they are, then that's the interpretation that we can gain from the church. Look what happened here to Israel. Do you think that we can skip over if we're committing the same sins? No. But did I throw any whiteness in there? No. That message is for all peoples. Like I said, you have the Israel, you have the church. Well, there is a third party. What are they called? The lost. Plain and simple. Are they under a covenant with God? Oh, yeah. God's made a covenant with them. And it's called judgment. You are children of wrath. Because you are inherently depraved. You are from the seed of Adam. You need a Savior. You need somebody who will stand in your place. And there's no government, there's no reparation, there's no nothing that is going to save you from the coming wrath except for Christ. There's nothing racist about that, but yet there are many in the Southern Baptist Convention, many leaders, many mission leaders, many individuals who are church planters, that this is the message that's being proclaimed today. It is so bad that Vodi Bakum had to write a book about it. Now, it's called Fault Lines, the Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. That's a catchy tune. I wish more evangelicals or more Bible-believing pastors would begin to wake up and understand what time it is and quit this snowball and fluff messages being relevant for today. Relevancy, if you want to be relevant, yes. Jesus Christ is one day closer to coming back than He was yesterday. And if we happen to wake up tomorrow, He's one day closer still. That's relevant. But even here, even back then, They were those that were denying that was even going to happen. Do we have that today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many churches believe today that Jesus is not coming back, that Jesus was not who he says he was, that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. There's many ways to heaven. All we got to do is clasp arms together, Jew and Gentile, Muslim, Buddhist, Wiccan, you name it. All we got to do is clasp arms together and sing Kumbaya. And it'll all be great. No, that is a deception from the pit of hell itself. How many ways is there to Christ? One. How do you get there? It has to come through Calvary. Not anything that I can do. The only thing I can do is plead for his mercy and accept the sacrifice he made on my behalf. That should have been me hanging there. That's my punishment. The Romans didn't kill Christ. The Jews didn't kill Christ. Christ willingly sacrificed himself on our behalf. And then said, "You want to see the Father? It comes through me." Look at their end. Bringing upon themselves swift destruction. It is almost a sad testament to open up the news and see another pastor fallen. And yet, those who teach false teaching, this is what Peter says is going to happen to them. They're going to come to a swift destruction. God is not going to allow his church to become victims. There's even a massive lawsuit over one of these churches today. And a judge just said, okay, all this information of this lawsuit must be presented. And it's a major mega church. And from one of the individuals that I've mentioned that was once well respected, but they got to where they were a congregational church. But they got to where the elders had taken control of it and were doing things behind the church's back as far as business was conducted, and the members rose up and said, no more. Now, what did Paul say about this? He said, don't bring civil suits to the magistrate, because what are you doing? You're putting the church on parade here. The world is already looking for faults. When we see another pastor has fallen, the world goes, look, they're no better than we are. You see? But yet, God, it says, no. You will not destroy my church. Number two, they preach a destructive gospel. Paul writes to Timothy that they're going to be gathering teachers that just whisper in their ears, that itching ears, tell you things you want to hear, that everything's going to be great, that everything's going to be sunny, that everything's going to be candy canes and peach rings. But they're not. We are blessed that we do have a biblically based church, that we open up the scriptures and we say what they are. We won't avoid the next verse, no matter how uncomfortable it is. If I don't step on my toes at least 1,000 times while I'm putting one of these together, then I'm not doing my job. But yet, there are those that want to have their ears tickled, that want people to preach to them the messages that will resonate throughout all spectrums, that I can preach a positive message to those who say that they are gay Christians. Now, is that an oxymoron? There's no such creature that exists. And yet, okay, and yet, we had to write an affirmation to that. It's called the Dallas Statement on Social Justice. And then the Southern Baptist had to add clauses to that, that basically stated that our message will only come from the Scripture and Scripture alone. It is not going to be tainted by politics. It's not going to be tainted by race. And it's not going to be tainted by society claiming that I need to preach a message that is inclusive to those who claim that they are great gay Christians. What? We have come to that point where now we're having to write things to say we're not going to be doing them. And guess what? This was signed by multitudes of pastors. However, they were not signed by a multitude of pastors. You see? That's the dividing line. Now, you say, why is that a big deal? Well, there's a little bill sitting in Congress right now. It hasn't gained any traction, thank the Lord. And it's called the Equality Act. Now, all it's going to take is one stupid politician to allow that bill to come forward. Well, I can tell you for a fact we have 500 stupid politicians. All right? And all it's going to take is one of them to allow that bill to go through. In it are instructions for churches and tax-free exempt 501(c)s. Church is not mentioned, but it's 501(c). That if you're going to claim tax-exempt status, your hiring practices, your congregational or working practices cannot be what they would consider discriminatory. And that covers the gamut. From race to LGBTQMLS XYZ. And if you do, you can lose your 501(c) status. There's the end game. Now, how would that affect the church? Well, if we just had someone came in and said they wanted to be a teacher and they were openly gay, or they wanted to be a pastor or a woman, and said, I want to preach, I want to teach. And we say, no, you cannot. They said, yes, I can. I will sue. You will lose your 501(c) status. And that makes you a hate group. All right? So you sign a check to donate. You've just signed a check for a hate group. Therefore, you're on a no-fly list and all this other stuff. But all it's going to take is one stupid politician to get that ball rolling again. You see where we're living today? Where we're living today, I firmly believe the generation that will see Christ coming is alive on this earth today. They may be just 1 minute old, or they may be 120. But within that span, things are moving way too fast. But the end result is it leads to godlessness. Look at verse 2. It said, and many will follow the sensualities, and because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. The way of the truth will be blasphemed. They will do what they want to do in order to elevate themselves or to make you feel good. And what's the end result? It's blasphemy. They will blaspheme the truth. They will say, you can be this way and still be a believer. Or always lead to heaven. Just some take a little longer to get there. And Peter's warning the church here at this time. They're doing this now. The church is only 30 years old, 30 to 50 years old. And it's happening here now. What is it going to look like 2,000 years from now? Which leads to the fact that there's no gospel at all. Why? Because blaspheming is non-truth. What is being presented is not a gospel at all. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Colossians chapter 2. And by the way, when we get through 2 Peter, I'm going to go to Colossians, Ephesians light. Because it's about time to get back to good, solid, foundational doctrine again. Chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophies and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul is telling the church in Colossae, don't let humans dictate the message. Christ dictates the message. Scripture dictates the message. It's not the latest fads, not the latest music, it's not the latest social trend. It's the blood-bought sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He drives the message. The gospel drives the message. And it all leads to destruction. Verse 3 says, and in their greed they'll exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. We need to be mindful. I firmly believe that since we are a biblically based church, that everyone in here is a follower and a believer of Christ. And so you say, well, you're just preaching to the choir. We're all good. But everyone in here knows somebody, whether it's a friend, family, neighbor, enemy, I don't care. You know someone who is either lost or you know somebody who's entrapped in one of these false churches. Now, I'm not saying, hey, come here, we're the only true church. Yeah, there's the cult. No. I'm saying that if the gospel of Christ is not being presented in the facility that they are in, they are not in a church, they are in a social setting. They're not getting fed. They may be lost. Now is the time to sound the warning. We can't sit idly by and just take this and hide this under the bushel. We are blood-bought believers in Christ. And it is our mission. Our mission, our responsibility, not just mine, not just Brother Ricky's, our responsibility to take the gospel message to a lost and dying world. And this world has not been so lost and dying in a long time. If you, who are out there in the audience, out there on the internet, if you have not come to that point in your life where you realize that without Christ you are lost, that without Christ you will die in your sins. The Scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. Death. But the free gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that Christ willingly gave himself up so that we could be partakers in the free gift of salvation that only comes by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. If you have not come to that point in your life, you are lost. The only way to salvation is to bow before Jesus Christ, proclaim Him as Lord and Savior, confess Him with your mouth, believe in your heart that He has been raised from the dead, then you will be saved. No other way. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this time. And Father, we do pray that if there's anyone that has heard this message that is not your child, Father, I do pray that you begin to draw them to yourself. Lord, draw them to Calvary. Bring them to see the Christ that hung there in their place. Bring them to repentance. Bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
As we stand together, we're going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea.
It is beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing stuff like that.